Greetings, everyone. This is Jonathan Alexander, editor of College Composition and Communication, and we're here today with Jeffrey Ringer, who is the author of the recently published article, Working Within the Logic of the Jeremiad, Responding to the Writing of Evangelical Christian Students, which was just published in the June 2017 CCC. With me also is editorial assistant Jens Lloyd. Jeff, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.
So one of the questions we always like to begin with is a question about the origins of the article. How did this particular piece, this line of research, come to you?
Well, there are two responses to that question. And the long-winded response, which I'll try to keep short, is this has been these kinds of questions about sort of religious identity and academic writing have been at the center of my scholarship for over a decade now, and so these were, you know, this is, you know, I've written several articles along these lines, published a book about it, so this has been in the air and the water for me for sure, but for this particular piece it totally fell in my lap. I was, at a previous institution, a colleague of mine, whom I refer to as Christine, in this essay, she knew of my scholarly interests in evangelical identity and academic writing in particular, and she had this student, Justin, in her class, and she got this paper that, you know, made these just, like, wacky moves, what look on the surface like outright proselytizing. And she, you know, she kind of sought me out and said, Jeff, I just got this paper. I've got to show this to you. And she showed it to me and showed me in particular the last line where Justin writes, you know, something like, I figured out my identity as a Christian, you know, do you know who you are? And it's like, do you know who you are? And Christine was like, is he trying to convert me? What's going on here? And I said, I don't know. Certainly I was interested in this, and she, you know, she was a very, conscientious, you know, she didn't just try to, you know, shut Justin up and get him to quit doing what he was doing. I think I mentioned in the piece that she was very respectful towards, different instantiations of the Christian faith. So she mentioned me to Justin, and then the two of us met informally, I asked him if he'd be interested in a study. He said yes. I went through all the IRB stuff and all that. So it was, this one just fell in my lap, is the in terms of this particular piece.
It's funny how research does that sometimes, particularly.
Yeah, I'm thinking of, Giza Kirsch's edited collection on the archives and the chapter about serendipity in there. And, you know, this, I was not looking for this. I wasn't teaching this class. I wasn't, you know, gathering participants for this study. In fact, I was trying to gather participants for a different study for which Justin did not fit. It was serendipity for sure.
Well, one of the things that's really striking about your article is it's a reminder of the many different kinds of rhetorical genres and modes that people not only have used for some time, but their relationship to faith-based communities, mm-hmm. and to mm-hmm. ways of thinking about persuasion and religion. Yeah. And that religion is often very rhetorically oriented, and that the call to question, the call to think about one's own religious convictions is often one that is rhetorically framed. And so it's completely appropriate to think about religion within a rhetorical context, but also to remember the close ties for centuries between rhetoric and religious belief and persuasion. So is it maybe too simplistic to say that our field may not be paying enough attention to rhetorics of religion?
I think that has been a true statement for some time now. I think it has certainly gotten better in the last 15 to 20 years. especially with folks like Elizabeth van der Leyen and Geer and Beth Daniel, those sorts of folks who really spearheaded a lot of the research along these lines. You know, there's been a lot of work recently that has sort of looked at the trajectory of the discussion about religion and religiously committed students in composition. And, you know, there people take it in different ways, but there tends to be agreement that when it first started out, it was, why are these kids citing the Bible in their academic writing, and why won't, what can we do to get them to quit that? Now we're at a point, I think, where we've realized that it's more complicated than that, and that if we do slow down and pay attention and not have a knee-jerk reaction to, say, the kind of writing that Justin produces, if we really start and think to look at what's going on there, we'll see a much more complex negotiation of identity, appeal to use of rhetorical forms, appeal through a variety of rhetorical tropes. I think there's a lot that we can learn from slowing down and paying attention to not only the students who are in our classes, but also to just the swirl of religiously inflected rhetorical discourses that surround us globally on a daily basis. If you compare communication studies or neighbors in communication studies and what they've done with religious rhetorics in the last, I'm already giving away, but I mean, they've been dealing with it fulsomely for decades. And in composition studies, we've just, I think, gotten to the point where we have a relatively robust discussion about this in the field. Case in point, a couple years ago, I did the RSA Institute with Marty Medhurst, who's a professor at Baylor, and he's a foremost communication scholar in rhetorics of religion. He produced for us a 70-page single-space bibliography, no annotations, just citations, work in communication studies that dealt with religion. Books, articles, edited collection, 70 pages. I mean, it was jaw-dropping to see how much work has been done over there compared to significantly less in composition studies.
I suspect you're right, especially right now. If we don't pay attention to the rhetorical force of religious discourses, we're shortchanging ourselves and our students at the same time.
Right, yeah.
Jeff, I have a question, I think, to the point you were just making. I was intrigued. Very early on, you make this connection between the Jeremiad and epideictic rhetoric. Sure. And so I'm wondering, for you, what was the decision-making process there? Why did you want to connect it to this, obviously, rich rhetorical tradition of epideictic rhetoric, which goes back to at least Aristotle? Sure. What was the move for you, or kind of, what was the thought process there? Because that was helpful for me as someone unfamiliar with Christian rhetorical tradition or the evangelical Christian rhetorical tradition, that was helpful to see that connection and to really see it carried throughout the entire article. So just wondering if you could talk a bit about that connection that you made.
Yeah, so I had the privilege to work with Larry Prelli, who's a communication professor at the University of New Hampshire, where I did my PhD. And he's done a lot of work on epideictic. He has this fantastic edited collection, award-winning edited collection, published by University of South Carolina Press about, I think it was 2006, called Rhetorics of Display. I forget what the subtitle is. But his introduction in that book, and I think I cite it in the article, is sort of a tour de force of scholarship, rhetorical scholarship about epideictic. And he basically defines epideictic there, following a lot of other scholars and rhetoricians, as, you know, rhetoric that acknowledges or disparages. And I think, like, that was kind of the thought process for me, is when you know, and when you think about what the Jeremiah does, it acknowledges, to use the terms I'm using here, it acknowledges that, evangelical Christians have this calling. you know, have this call to be a certain kind of person. And then it disparages the failure to live up to that calling. But then it kind of swings back to another acknowledgement, like, you know, if we can return to this, then we'll be okay. And so that for me, and then you have folks like Celeste Condit and Perelman and Ulbricht Zytecka and others who sort of I may be messing up some of the citations here. So there are a number of scholars in the rhetorical in rhetoric and in the rhetorical canon who make those connections between see the Jeremiad as a form of epideictic. But to most specifically answer your question, it's that sort of twin movement or two-pronged acknowledge and disparage move, I guess you could say.
Jeff, a real pleasure to talk with you. Your article, we were delighted to publish it. I think you're bringing to the fore in our field something that is really significant in a way of thinking rhetorically and in terms of composition studies that we would do well to pay attention to. So, everyone, Jeffrey Ringer, Working Within the Logic of the Jeremiad, Responding to the Writing of Evangelical Christian Students. You can read it in the June 2017 CCC. Jeff, thanks so much.
Thank you so much.